Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Audio Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. The Midwest Hemp Council Audio Podcast is brought to you by Grow Indiana Together PAC, Indiana's first political action committee dedicated to supporting cannabis reform in Indiana. And today we're going to talk about some of that cannabis reform with Justin Swanson. Justin is the president of the Midwest Hemp Council. He's also principal at Bose Public Affairs Group and of counsel at Bose McKinney and Evans. Justin, how you doing today?
I'm great, Jason. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for being with us. And we've got a lot to talk about today. So like I said, we're going to get right to it. We've got some state house happenings going on. Why don't you tell us what's going on with that and how that affects us?
Yeah, so we've had a really busy session for cannabis-related bills so far this year. I want to say off the top of my head, we had 13, maybe 14 bills filed impacting cannabis in some form or fashion. And so we're excited to continue to see with the new turnover every 2 years in the House and every 4 years in the Senate, that gives us kind of a new crop of legislators to try and educate on the topics and get them up to speed on the industry and what we need to be successful. And so I think you see a lot of these bills that you see filed this year, a result of kind of newer perspectives coming into the state house. So all really good news for us. In particular, Jason, maybe we can talk about Senate Bill 293 first.
Mm-hmm.
This is Senator Holman's bill. He's the chairman of the Tax and Fiscal Policy. And so we had a big week this week. For our listeners to recall, Senate Bill 293 was actually first heard in committee back in January. And we've been involved in negotiations for the last couple of weeks to get that bill out of committee. We were successful on Tuesday. So Valentine's Day was a good day for multiple reasons. And got that bill out committee 11-1. And the only no vote against it had some concerns with some felony provisions in there for repeated offenses for breaking the law we're setting up. So very excited about that and love to give you a quick rundown of what 293 does, Jason, to remind everybody if you're okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I just continue on. Justin was going to ask you if you could break that down for us. So what, obviously you're excited about it. Why is that? What's in there that excites you?
So the Senate chamber in general has been very cold to the hemp industry and cannabis industry in general. So first off, we're very excited and grateful for Senator Holman's leadership on the issue. Because he has taken upon himself to understand the industry, understand what we're asking for and why it actually is beneficial to public policy. So the first thing it does is makes it clear that low THC hemp and hemp flower are not considered food adulterants for our food safety laws. That's good for two reasons. One, it gives clear guidance to our local departments of health that this is, infusing low THC extracts into food or drinks is okay here in Indiana. And second, it's going to give more confidence or additional confidence to small businesses in the state to identify good partners, partner with our farmers and other hemp businesses to bring innovative products to market. So I always like to point out Sun King, they're a great brewing company here in the state that started here and has expanded elsewhere. They have a great Delta 8 seltzer drink on tap now. And so we really want to encourage businesses like that to get educated and see the opportunity that might be there for their specific businesses.
Right. And of course, we've been waiting for this because, again, people are not going to invest big dollars into something that is a very shaky situation. Thankfully, we've had folks that have put that money in there, the effort, the risk. But getting it into law certainly, that solidifies it and therefore kind of opens up those income opportunities.
That's exactly right. And it's also allowing the industry to mature the right way where we're not kind of living and dying by the whims of, letters or whatever it is. It just gives clear guidance and statute on what to do and what not to do.
Mm-hmm. And what else is going on there that excites you, Justin?
So we attempt to address some of the concerns we've heard from particularly the Senate chamber in terms of Delta 8, HHC, some of these other potentially impairing cannabinoids in the market today, not having age restrictions on them. So, you could be a 13, 14-year-old walk into a shop and buy a Delta 8 product, and you would not be breaking any laws. So We put 21 and up age restrictions on certain cannabinoids on the market today to help show that, you know, show the General Assembly we want to clean up the market and we want to, you know, be around for a long time and sell appropriately. And so the good news is, you know, the vast majority of folks in Indiana already have 21 and up on their packaging for most of these products and really won't sell to anyone under 21. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be much of a big change for anybody who's been practicing industry best practices on it. Mm-hmm. But again, it does kind of show the General Assembly that, you know, we're capable of cleaning up the market with their help. So we're excited about that. And it also has some new packaging requirements in there that makes it clear, you know, you cannot package these products in a manner that's going to be marketed towards children. So really want to avoid all the knockoffs of like Oreos and Skittles and Nerd Ropes. Like, we want to really move the industry away from that stuff.
Right, right. Because it doesn't need to be cartoonish if you're going after the adult market.
Right. And it's again, we're just trying to close down any arguments of why we can't be a legitimate industry here in the state. Mm-hmm. And again, showing the state that we want to be here for a long time and do it the right way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then finally in the bill, it protects what we call work in progress hemp extract.
Okay.
So the DEA came out with a final rule a year or two ago. That on its face calls into question the very act of processing a hemp plant into an oil. Because what they said is anytime, you know, throughout your process, if you go above 0.3% Delta 9 THC, you're marijuana and you're breaking federal law at the end right. of the day. So mm-hmm. that's been very scary for the industry. And what we're doing is protecting our manufacturers here in the state and saying that just because you go above 0.3% Delta 9 THC in your process, does not mean you're breaking the law as long as you're properly licensed. And it makes it clear you can't sell any of any work in hemp progress extract to a consumer. You can only sell that to a licensed processor here in the state or in another state.
Okay. And how does that help the grower?
Well, it really helps the processor.
Okay.
It helps manufacturers. It helps protect them from DEA overreach. As well as some overzealous law enforcement that might be around.
Oh, okay. That clarifies it for me. Okay, there
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, so really, Jason, think of it, it's really business to business.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening now today, except these companies are forced to basically dilute their oil before they send it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the receiving party has to undilute it, you know, spend the time and resources to undilute it. So
I understand.
Really just trying to increase efficiencies for our manufacturers here in the state.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that bill's on second reading. Today and second reading calendar means any senator can offer amendments to the bill, which actually did happen today. Senator Freeman has an amendment that will essentially gut the bill. So we're a little frustrated about that, but look forward to working with Senator Holdman and the rest of the Senate to figure out what a good solution here looks like. I don't think any. Go ahead.
I was saying, what's the time frame of that? How much time do you have to work with?
So he didn't call the bill down today, so it'll be on the second reading calendar again next week until he calls it down. And I want to say off the top of my head, the second reading deadline to get off of that calendar, Jason, is I want to say early March. I could be really wrong on that. I guess the benefit of our listeners, I'm not worried about any of the deadlines or anything. This is more about trying to figure out if there's a way to reasonably accommodate whatever Senator Freeman's issues are with the industry and the bill.
And since that was just presented today, you probably don't have a complete grasp on what his wants and needs are yet.
So I did skim it today, and it really looks like, one, he kind of guts the first two or three pages of the bill. And then he basically, I think what the language does is moves us from having broad access to low THC products mm-hmm. to saying if you're under 21, you have to have a physician's recommendation to possess and consume it. So again, it's a little, I'm not really sure what the goal is, because we would be the first, I believe it'd be the first state in the country to, you know, require you to be 21 and up for a full spectrum CBD product, mm-hmm. which is what that language would do. So, still need to digest a little bit and do some homework, but, pretty confident we'll continue to at least move forward in some form or fashion and you know, the House always has time to put their fingerprints on the bill as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll look forward to some updates on that.
Yeah. Another bill, Jason, that we were excited to participate on was House Bill 1297. So this was this bill was heard on Wednesday, and what it did is decriminalize possession of marijuana up to 2 ounces, and then also put in some thresholds for like gummies and vape pens. And really what Representative Van Natter did was just match the buying limit, the transaction limits in Michigan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Since we know Hoosiers are going to Michigan and Illinois and buying this stuff, then we wanted to match what they were able to buy in that state and bring it back with them.
If someone were to go to Michigan or Illinois and make that purchase and they leave the bag, you know, in plain view, everything's sealed or what have you, but it's in plain view on the passenger seat and they get pulled over for speeding, what would the, I assume the, and it was again within the legal limit, then that bill would protect them.
That's right. And so it's similar to what Kentucky did back in January last month, where they're allowing their citizens to go purchase up to 8 ounces of medical marijuana in a regulated market and, you know, possess that mm-hmm. on their person in the state.
Mm-hmm. I see. And is that something that, that you think will happen here?
Not this year. So the committee did not take a vote on it and does not plan to take a vote on it, but it was historic for several reasons. One being this is the first time the General Assembly's had a serious, you know, public committee hearing on what cannabis reform might look like in the future in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge, you know, a really big accomplishment, I think, just for the efforts of everybody on cannabis reform here in the state. The other thing I really liked about it, too, is you had some really positive comments from Republican committee members on the committee, and, you know, talking about it's, you know, definitely time we figure out what we want to do here in this space and get moving on it. So very excited about the future and excited about really just the time that legislators are taking to educate themselves on the issue and how to maybe do it right in the future.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, Midwest Hemp Council, we did testify in support of the bill, mainly because we were told we were not allowed to have retail hemp flower because marijuana is illegal. So we testified in support of the bill and said, you know, our farmers are shut out of the most lucrative market here because of marijuana prohibition. Mm-hmm. So
again, I, you know, obviously you're planting the seeds for the next session and maybe the session after that.
Yeah, and I think even the supporters of the bill recognize, okay, you know, this is a great first step, but really, you know, the public policy that's ultimately going to benefit, you know, public safety, public health, businesses, and farmers is really just a set of holistic regulations moving forward. So that was the message, and I think even the bill author understands the decriminalization is not the end goal, but was a really good catalyst for a conversation start of this session.
Okay. And anything else, Justin, that we need to be discussing this week?
We did. I'm sure our members are aware if they're in the cannabinoid market. The DEA did send out a response letter on Monday, February 13th. And the question being asked was, you know, do they consider Delta-9 THCO acetate and Delta-8 THCO acetate a controlled substance?
Mm-hmm.
And the DEA's response was they, in fact, do consider it a controlled substance. And their reasoning was because THCO acetate and the other cannabinoids not found, quote, naturally in the plant.
Okay.
So it's interesting, right? Kind of the industry all cheered when they confirmed that Delta-8 was not a controlled substance. And now I think everybody's questioning the wisdom of relying on the DEA to pick and choose what's legal and what's not legal in the hemp industry. You know, I've been asked quite a bit of my opinion on the letter, and it is what it is. At the end of the day, it's a letter, and it's a federal agency attempting to interpret federal law, but it does not change federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say that until we get more guidance from Congress on what they want the industry to look like from a consumer-facing product standpoint, the law is the law, and, you know, derivatives and extracts of hemp are included in that definition of hemp for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what kind of impact it'll have on the broader market.
Well, I was going to say, are they potentially trying to lay the groundwork or plant the seeds for, you know, to possible repeal down the road?
Well, I mean, it certainly, I mean, at the end of the day, Jason, we got to remember the DEA was, you know, has been frustrating the hemp industry since its inception. Mm-hmm. The Kentucky Department of Agriculture had to sue the DEA in court when they imported their first hemp seeds because the DEA wouldn't follow the law. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of an ongoing battle that's been going on for really the inception of the 14 Farm Bill. And, you know, I think Congress is pretty clear in the 2018 Farm Bill, they didn't want the DEA to have any jurisdiction over hemp and hemp products anymore. And I think the longer and longer it takes the FDA or Congress to provide kind of clear guidance and guardrails on kind of hemp-derived cannabinoid products, you know, the more and more of this we're going to see where they're letting the DEA and maybe other actors, you know, back in where they didn't want them to have jurisdiction to begin with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just, again, highlights the need for clear regulations at the end of the day.
Right, right. Well, and that's why the Midwest Hemp Council and people like Justin Swanson are here.
We're trying. Definitely trying.
There we go. Anything else that we have to discuss, Justin?
No, I'm on my way back from Milwaukee. Had a great conference with the Indigenous Cannabis Industry Association. Hmm. They recently started up, and it's really exciting to see the tribes and indigenous people really take a serious look at the opportunities they have on the hemp and cannabis side. So looking forward to our future partnerships, and encourage everybody to check out their association.
Excellent, excellent. All right. Once again, Midwest Hemp Council President Justin Swanson. Justin, if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and close this one out and look forward to our next podcast.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jason.
All right. Excellent. Justin, once again, thanks for joining us. Again, that was Justin Swanson, Midwest Hemp Council President. Justin is also principal at Bose Public Affairs Group and of counsel at Bose McKinney and Evans. Thanks so much for joining us. And that is going to do it for this edition of the Midwest Hemp Council audio podcast, brought to you by Grow Indiana Together PAC, Indiana's first political action committee dedicated to supporting cannabis reform in Indiana. I'm Jason Dozier, and we'll see you on the next one. So long, everybody.